I want to share just a few words with you from the book of Judges. I've been at it long enough working with young people to know that the hope of America is in this room right here. And I love being around young people who memorize Scripture. I just love that. But I think I'm similar to you in some areas. One is, I am quick to spot a fraud. How about you? A fake. How many of you enjoy being around fakes? Let me see your hands. How many hate fake? All right. Well, it's something that you see through the years. It's something that, especially as a pastor and a youth pastor for several years, an opportunity to speak to young people, that you see it. It's just like you look in the eyes, the light's not on. It's like, you know, they may sit under preaching, they may sit under teaching, or they're involved in a youth group or a youth program. It's just like the light is not on. It's just, you want to come upside their head and say, knock, knock, knock. Anybody inside? Hello? Hello? And shake them. Anybody inside there? And then what a beautiful thing to see the light turn on. But here's what's in my heart. This is a message that's brewed in my heart for years. I've preached this passage, probably dozens of times. And it's a passage that's just the Lord brought to my heart. In Judges chapter 2, do you have your Bibles? I know, you have the whole Bible memorized, but if you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 2, and I am not going to speak a long time, maybe an hour and a half or two, but I won't take a long time. Judges chapter 2, you see it says in verse 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And then you see that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. And then it says he died. Joshua, the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died. He was 110 years old. They buried him. And then it says in verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their father. And there arose another generation after them. Now listen to how this third generation is described. Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now, let me just cut to the chase here. I see three generations in Israel. I see generation one, and it's characterized by one word. It's one man. His name is Joshua. Say that word with me. Joshua. And he was committed, and he knew God and knew God's works. Then you see him die, and the second generation came in, and that was the elders of Israel. Who's the second generation? Elders, all right? First generation who? Joshua. Second generation who? Elders. And then the third generation, we're told, was another generation. Say that with me. Another generation. I'm not going to let you get by just sitting. All right? So I want you to be like a class here. I want you to review. First generation who? Joshua. Second generation who? Elders. Second generation who? Another generation. Now let's go a step further. The first generation, Joshua, characterized by one word, committed. Say that. Committed. Now, here's what I mean. Wholehearted committed. He knew God and knew God's works. And he saw the Jordan River divided. Supernaturally, God stepped in. He saw the walls of Jericho destroyed. He saw the sun and moon stand still on the plains of Ajalon. Joshua committed, and he knew God and knew God's works. Okay, first generation who? Joshua, characterized by one word, committed. And he knew God and knew God's works. Second generation, after he dies, are the elders of Israel. Now you read through the last part of Joshua, in the book of Judges, you find that they were characterized by one word, and that was the word compromise. Say that with me. Compromise. And they knew God and knew about God's works. All right, class? Second generation who? Elders, characterized by one word. Compromise, say it. And they knew God and knew about God's works. Then we read in verse 10, another generation came on the scene. That's after Joshua died. That's after the elders died. Third generation, another generation, and they're characterized by one word, and it's the word conflict. Say that with me. Conflict. And it says they knew not God, nor God's works. First generation who? Joshua. Characterized by what? Committed. And he knew God and knew God's works. Second generation who? Elders. Characterized by one word? Compromise. And they knew God and knew about God's works. Third generation who? Another generation. Characterized by one word? Conflict. And they knew not God nor God's works. Now you think about this. You think about some of your families. You think about your homes. Some of you have godly parents. You listen to their answers to prayer. You listen to how they got saved. You listen to how God worked in their heart. And they're committed. And they have tremendous conviction. And they love God. And it's a no-brainer. They're going to serve God. And so are you. And you know, many of you have been brought up in Christian homes like that. But you know, some of you are like that second generation. And you face moments of compromise. And you know God, but you only know about God's works. You only know what God did in your parents' lives. You only know what God did in your grandparents' lives. You listen to your pastor. You listen to others. And you say, man, that is awesome. Isn't God good? Look what God did in their lives. But you've never made it your own. Second generation, characterized by one word, compromise. And you know God, but you only know about God's works. And here's the biggest fear. Some of you are going to get out of your homes. And you're going to go on into life. And you're going to be characterized by that third generation, another generation, full of conflict. And you know not God, nor God's works. Now you can chase this all the way through Scripture. You can see this in David and his descendants. David committed. He knew God, knew God's works. His son Solomon, compromise. He knew God, knew about God's works. Rehoboam, David's grandson, conflict. And he knew not God, nor God's works. You can see that in Eli, his children, his grandchildren, generations to come. You see that in Samuel, his children, generations to come. You see this in Abraham and his descendants. Abraham, committed. Isaac, compromise. Jacob, conflict. You see it all the way through Scripture. You see this in many of the colleges in our land. I mean, you go back and study the history of colleges like Harvard, like Yale, Princeton. There was a time in those colleges where you would have chapel every day and the president of the college would call on you or whoever's directing the chapel and you have to give an account for what you learned that day in your personal time in the Word and how God answered prayer. And then that generation died off. Another generation came in who were living on borrowed convictions. And then they died, they passed off the scene, and today, in those institutions, you show up in class with a Bible, you'll be laughed to scorn. How did that happen? First generation, let's say it. First generation who? Joshua. Characterized by one word, committed. And he, say it, knew God and knew God's works. Second generation who? Elders. Characterized by one word, compromise. And they knew God and knew about God's works. Third generation who? Another generation. Characterized by one word? Conflict. And they knew not God nor God's works. Now here's the message. I think we're seeing today young people come out of our youth groups and our churches, just like yours, who are living on borrowed convictions. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. They're like, you ever watched a mama robin, a bird, come in with a worm and come down and have all little babies with their beaks sticking up and the mama comes down and stuffs the worm in their beaks? You ever seen that? And they just gobble it up. The mama, I mean, in some parts of the country, like China, others, the parent, the mother pre-chews the food and then spits it into the mouth of that child and they eat it because they already died, you know, pre-chew it and all that stuff. I think a lot of our young people today, your age, many, I'm sure, in this room, are living on the borrowed convictions from your parents, from your pastors, from your leaders. You say, what do you mean by that? All right, let's talk about this. If all your authorities right now, all your spiritual authorities, your parents, others, were to say, all right, no more rules, no more rules. You can spend time with whom you want. You can go out with who you want. You can stay out as late as you want. You can do drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever you want. You can watch anything you want on TV. It's yours. It's your life. You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid that many of our young people, and I'm afraid that many in this room right here would say, yes, freedom. And you go out and destroy your life. You know why? Because you have never taken this word right here, all those verses you memorized, and embraced it. And you've never made it your own. And I think one of the greatest commitments a young person or any person for that matter can make is to be a committed Christian who knows God and knows God's works. Committed whole heart to the Lord. I don't care if my friends don't agree with me. I don't care if my friends compromise. I don't care if the peer pressure is there not to love God. As for me, I will serve God. I will be wholeheartedly for the Lord. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Committed. And I know God. And know God's works. What do you think would happen to your church? What do you think would happen to your youth group if every single one of us went back committed to know God and know God's works? Don't you get kind of tired of listening to someone else's testimony? I'm not being critical of people's testimonies. Doesn't it kind of bother you that when somebody raises their hand and talks about an answer to prayer, you don't have any answers to prayer? Doesn't that kind of bother you? Doesn't it bother you when someone talks about leading a soul to Christ and all the joy that comes into that person's heart and leading them to Christ and then disciple them? And you're saying, man, I'm glad for you. I think that's really great. God bless you. You know, but it's not happened to you. Let me ask you this. If I were to ask you right now to confront you and ask you to give me an evidence of God working in your heart and life supernaturally in this last week or two, could you do it? Could you give me one evidence of God supernaturally working in your heart this last week? One answer to prayer. One evidence of the power of God in your life. I'm afraid that many of us are simply puppets on strings. You got people pulling your strings. That's all we are. I mean, your leaders tell you, okay, now here's what I want you to do, Huey. I want you to get uppy at a certain timey. I want you to spend 1 hour in the wordy. And if you do that, I'll give you 5 stars on the wall here. You know, I want to say, well, hang the stars. Forget your charts. Don't try to challenge me with that. I am going to memorize the Word of God. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to set goals as far as knowing God's Word. Why? Because I want to. Because I want to know God. And I want to know His works personally in my life. I am sick of living on borrowed convictions. You agree with that? Say amen. Well, let's review. First generation who? Joshua. Characterized by one word. Committed. And Joshua said, knew God and knew God's works. Second generation who? Elders. Characterized by one word? Compromise. And they knew God and knew about God's works. Third generation who? Another generation. Characterized by one word? Conflict. And they knew not God nor God's works. Now I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to think, and I'm done. Where are you? Where are you? You got your parents burden for you, got your leaders burden for you. You're plastic. It's a facade. You've got those habits nobody sees behind the scenes. You've got things that you're involved in, and you got everybody fooled, not God. One of the greatest things that can happen to you personally is for you to say, dear God, I'm getting all the way in. I want to be committed to you, my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind. And I want to be known by the word committed. And I want to know you and your works in my life. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Joshua. Dear God, I pray that you would raise up young people that are committed to you, that know you and know your works. Your heads are bowed. Let me ask you this. Nobody looking around. How many would say, Brother Scott, I agree. God wants me to be committed to know him and know his works. I agree with that. May I see your hand if that's so with you? I'm not asking for a decision here. I just wanted to, do you agree with that? Let me see your hands raised up there high. You may put your hands down. Now let me go a step further. How many of you say, well, Brother Scott, not only do I agree, that's really what I desire. I don't want to live on borrowed convictions. I don't want to be a puppet on a string. I don't want to be that little bird in the nest having it stuffed by my throat, down my throat. I want it myself. I want to know God. And I want to know God's works. And right now, I'm going to commit my heart and life to be that first generation Christian for God. Would you tell that to the Lord right now? Tell him. How many of you say, I just told the Lord that. I mean it. May I see your hand if that's so with you? Raise up there high. Yes, my hand is there too. That's my heart. You may put your hand down. Father, we give you the glory. I ask that this would be true in every one of our lives. Be young people, older people that walk with you, that know you and know your works. In Jesus' name, amen.